according to the Myers-Briggs personality inventory, I am an INTJ. And I'm a very, very strong I. So my interaction with people is always intense, small groups of people, not a lot of small talk. That makes me uncomfortable, but I like being with large or smaller groups. And I'm always very serious with these small groups as well. Sort of go crazy with talking in large parties or large gatherings of people as well. I'm much more comfortable in book studies and intellectual endeavors and things of that nature as well. I'm also a fairly strong J. You wouldn't know it to look at my desk or my one recliner that sits in my living room, but I like things very neat and orderly and structured. I like things put away and filed away. That rather than the big piles that sit on my desk and on my chair, I still have my Lenten stoles out on my recliner in my living room. Someday I'll put those away. But that's the kind of thing that happens with J's so often as well. They want these things and desire these things, but they don't always do them real well. But that's a component, that's the Myers-Briggs component. And the Myers-Briggs component tells us something about who we are. And I was even talking after the last Mass as well, we were talking about our Myers-Briggs. And we're saying how it changes very little throughout our life, other times that we've taken these tests as well. But this is only part of who I am, and I can't allow the Myers-Briggs personality indicators to dictate who I am. I can't say, well, I can't do that. I'm only a J, or I'm a T, I'm an N. That won't work. I can't allow that at all to dictate the things that I do, nor can it ever excuse me from actions or activities or attitudes. I didn't mean to do that. You know how us J's are. But rather, it's simply a part of who I am, and I recognize and realize that there's something much, much larger than myself, much larger that I'm a part of. And that's the part of God's holy family. That through my participation in baptism and confirmation and Eucharist, I'm a member of God's holy people. That Jesus Christ is our salvation and peace. And Jesus Christ is the one that we follow faithfully. And that's my and our real identity, the identity that really matters to each and every one of us. And just as Peter has asked the question today, who do people say that I am? And Peter answers, you are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. That response we need to give each and every moment of our lives. It is a reflection of who we are and what we are about. Because once we say that, once we speak that, once we profess that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Son of the living God, well, that makes a difference then in the way we treat one another, the way we act towards each other and with one another. It makes a difference then in the decisions and choices that we make, the way that we treat one another with charity and love and justice, the way we hold ourselves in integrity and dignity and don't allow ourselves to wander or wallow into darkness or dankness, but always our focus and centered on the light of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who do people say that I am? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that's the real identity that we take honor in and we take truth in. We allow that to be exposed by our very lives as well. It's a comfort because we know and recognize that Jesus Christ is with us all the time. That He continues to bathe us and overwhelm us with His grace and His love, His compassion and mercy. But it's also a challenge because Jesus Christ reminds the disciples today and reminds us today that if you profess my name, if you believe in me, are connected to me, if you're my disciple, you have to take up your cross. You have to experience the cross and follow me faithfully, carrying the cross along on that journey of faith, a comfort and a challenge. And St. Paul talks about belonging to Christ today. He says that the belonging to Christ is an entrance into the church, an entrance into a new family. And St. Paul says, in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God, through which we become members of the one faith. And he goes on to say, being in Christ is an incorporation into that new family in which every gender, ethnicity, and social status is welcome. But as a child of God, that transcends every other identity marker. If you belong to Christ, St. Paul says, then you're children of the covenant. And St. Paul reminds us, as the prophet today reminds us, that from the very beginning of time, God looked upon those faithful people, the Abrahams and the Isaacs and the Elijahs and Elishas, faithful men and women who proclaimed God's goodness. And in the midst of darkness and dankness and brokenness and hurt and pain and all the frustrations, they remained faithful to the Word of God, understanding that this covenant that was created with us and between God and us and God, is the most important thing that we do, is living out that covenant. And we are children of the promise of God, children of the new life, and that we always seek out then that kingdom. We seek out God's goodness. We seek out God's gentleness and compassion, not just for our own needs, but as we share that through our ministry, through our work and our words with one another as well. That we allow men and women to know that we belong to God because we act always in accordance with our Lord Jesus Christ. We belong to God because we act Christ-like in the way that we make choices and decisions, the way that we maintain a sense of holiness and dignity, always along that pathway that Jesus Christ shows us, that we too see those who are hurting or broken or sickly or disposed or somehow distanced from the world around them. We gather them in. We help them know that they are members of God's holy family. We bear them up and we bear their burdens. We bear their hurts and their pains as well. That's that love that our Lord Jesus Christ talks to us about so often. The love of God the Father in our lives is demonstrated through the passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. St. Julian of Norwich, a good Celtic mystic, lived centuries ago. She wrote a series of diaries and a series of reflections. One of them is called Revelations of Divine Love. And in it, she muses, I want to be a kind-hearted person who is drawn to be near Jesus at his cross. She goes on to say, Jesus' death on the cross wasn't just a one-time event that is over and done with. Yes, the work of the cross is complete and history has been written. But our Lord and Savior is still living a cross kind of life, still humbled in his eternal incarnation, still continually wounded with love for our sinners. I think, wow, how powerful that love is that God continues to have on each and every one of us. That love that Jesus Christ demonstrated as he went to the cross and suffered and died is still the love that's poured out upon each and every one of us. And that's the kind of love that gives us a sense of solidarity, not only with God the Father, but solidarity with one another as well. If this is how much God loves us, what kind of return can I make to the Lord for all the Lord has done for us? How do I say amen back to God after God has said amen to us through the passion, death, and resurrection of his Son? And we are professing Jesus Christ. We take up our cross and we follow him. And it's that kind of love, it's that kind of selflessness that God is calling to us. And we know, any of us who have ever been in a love relationship, we know that love is not about unicorns and rainbows and flowery fields and cotton candy. That's part of it, and that happens. And that's a wonderful thing, a wonderful experience. And that's what sort of holds us up, because we always think about those awesome experiences with the one that we love. But also we realize the pain and the suffering that sometimes goes with it. And sometimes we're stretched, and sometimes we feel lonely, and sometimes we're hurt, because we're always vulnerable. Whenever we love, we open ourselves up to the one whom we love. Whenever we love, we stand before the other one, very vulnerable. And that's why it's so important that when we love one another, we do so with a sense of true love, selfless love, not about ourselves, but always the other. And we're always striving and seeking the goodness of this other individual. That's how we love one another. Just as God the Father thinks about love for us through his Son, Jesus Christ, we want to make sure that we demonstrate that same love to God, but also that same love to one another, that we continue to imitate that love, that selflessness that God shows us. But when we are stretched and when we are transformed, we're always placed in an uncomfortable situation. And the love of Jesus Christ calls us to be countercultural, that we walk against the culture, against the norms, against the values of this world, always holding on to the values of the kingdom of God. And many Christians might find this a very unacceptable idea, Many Christians find this hard to bear. The idea of conversion and discipleship sort of wreaks havoc with our very comfortable lives. We want a very private Jesus. We want a relationship between just me and Jesus, and we'll walk that pathway by ourselves. But Jesus calls us into a community, calls us into a body of faith. Jesus Christ calls us with one another and for one another, that we love each other, love all men and women, that we strive to build up a community of faith and faithfulness, that we work with each other and for one another to honor and praise God and to live always as children of God. And ideas and our ideals, they're not the culture of the people around us. And sometimes people are uneasy with our Christ-like living, by our sense of what is good and proper and true. People look at us and they flick things at us, and they're not always comfortable with what we say. Sometimes people are hostile to the ideals of Jesus Christ and his values. But we are always called to go back to that. Who do I say that Jesus Christ is? And we have to maintain that. And that helps us maintain that faith and faithfulness. Otherwise, we're called into all this. We're sucked into all this yuck, all this gunk. So that's why we remain focused and centered on the body of Christ and the person of our Lord Jesus Christ as well. Our society, our world around us, can't wait till we fall, can't wait till we stumble, so it can point at us and shake its fingers at us. See, you're not really holy. You're not really Christ-like. See what you're doing? That's sort of the bully syndrome, isn't it? Like, that's what bullies do. These bullies sort of wait for any kind of little brokenness or any kind of fault, any kind of inconsistency, and bullies pounce on that. And people around them, you're either with the bully or not with the bully. And it's much more comfortable a lot of times to be in that culture, that society that bullies one another, because it's safe and comfortable, and everyone lives in that hurtfulness, that brokenness together. Everyone doesn't take care of each other, but they're only concerned about their self. It's interesting, the times I've been in schools, how that bully culture works, is a lot of times the bully is also a bully, like mom and dad are bullies too. I remember one particular situation. There was this child, which was a brat, an absolute total brat. I have other words I would probably use, but this is sort of a G-rated homily. But this child was an extreme brat. I remember talking to mom and dad, and they didn't say these exact words. There was something like, oh no, Johnny would never do anything like that at all, never. I can't imagine Johnny doing that. It's an impossibility for Johnny doing anything bad or wrong or anything that would be disruptive. Matter of fact, he saves half his sandwich every lunch. So then when he goes home, he stops by the bridge where the lepers live. And he feeds the lepers and cares for the lepers underneath the bridge. He's a wondrous child. Sometimes he breaks bread and fish together and blesses them and multiplies it and feeds the whole city. He's wondrous. And that's sort of the story you get from mom and dad. But they've also fallen into this bully kind of thing too. And it's easy to do that. They'd be sucked into the temptation, not living Christ-like. It's much easier. But it's difficult and necessary for us to live as a child of God, to live that faithful life, to profess and proclaim that Jesus Christ is the Christ. He is the Savior. He is the Son of the living God, the Messiah, and to follow him faithfully. It's difficult to do sometimes, to love and to care, be compassionate as Jesus has shown us, but very, very necessary to live as Christ did, to live counterculturally in our world today, to live by the values of our gospel, to live by the values of our Christ. In our gospel today, Peter correctly identifies Jesus as the Messiah, but then he and we are given a lesson, what that means, that the Son of God must be rejected, persecuted, and put to death. Jesus Christ serves as a source of salvation and peace for the whole world, precisely by that Paschal mystery. And we are called into that same mystery of faith and to live out that mystery of faith by our very lives. To understand that is to understand everything about the Christian faith.